Don't forget, everybody, huge, huge sale on sheets right now happening at mypillow.com/chicks. And when I say huge sales, listen to what I mean. Like queen size, for example, queen size sheets. And these are sheets that you will fall in love with and never want to use any other kind of sheets. Normal queen size sheet, regular price, $89.98 for a set. Now, if you use code CHICKS at mypillow.com/chicks, it's $39.98. Hello!
I'm getting like a bunch of these for Christmas. Like, you know how I do my Christmas shopping really early? I'm getting a bunch of these. Like, this is the thing. People don't like to buy themselves sheets, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to do this for a bunch of people that I love at Christmas time. Not really stocking stuffers, but actual gifts. Like, throw this in for people. Because, yeah, $39.98 is such a, this is like the greatest price, you guys. And then you can get like fun colors. Yeah, it's the greatest. So, guys, take advantage of this. MyPillow.com/chicks. Do it.
Do it. Or call 1-800-875-0513.
The powers that be did not like that parents were trying to have influence and direct the upbringing of their children. And so we just, you know, we got together and we said, we know how to help these parents. People just pull ideas out of the air that, you know, and make us this boogeyman and tag everything onto us that has nothing to do with us. I don't know who the Koch brothers are.
Oh my gosh.
I had no idea. They said AstroTurf. I had to look it up the first time I heard it. I was like, AstroTurf? What?
Welcome to another deep dive edition of the Chicks on the Right podcast. So excited because we have very special guests, plural, with us today. We've got Tiffany Justice and Tina Deskovich from Moms for Liberty. And you may have heard about this group in the news over the past several months. They're becoming a force to be reckoned with. They are the voice of parents who care about their kids all across this country. They recently had a national summit in Florida, and we want to know all about the organization, how the two of you got it started, and just give us a little background and tell people who you are.
Yeah, we'd love to do that. So I'm Tina Deskovich. This is Tiffany Justice. We are both former school board members here in the state of Florida. We served from 2016 to 2020. We didn't know each other. We served in different districts. But since we met and started, what would be a good word, Tiffany, for that? Started
collaborating
in mid-2020 and then into late 2020 when we came off our terms, what we learned was our experiences were pretty much the same. We saw behind the education curtain. We saw the power the unions had. We saw the authority of parents being eroded, some really concerning issues. And then, you know, COVID happened, 2020 unfolded, and all of America got to see behind the education curtain, and they didn't like what they saw. And so Tiffany and I took a lay of the land. We saw parents in our own districts and then around the country that wanted to advocate for their children, wanted to influence policies and rules and procedures in their districts, and it wasn't working. They were showing up at school board meetings, and we all saw it. Cameras getting shut off, mics getting shut off, meetings getting closed, doors getting locked. The powers that be did not like that parents were trying to have influence and direct the upbringing of their children. And so we just, you know, we got together and we said, we know how to help these parents. Let's do something. And Moms for Liberty was born.
And then how do you empower people? What is it that you do to help people? Because we have a lot of people that follow us that are like, gosh, I want to get more involved. I want to do the things. I just don't know how to do the things. And you guys have already, if you look at a map on your website, you guys have chapters that are popping up all over the country, a lot in Florida, especially because that's where you guys started. But then all over the country, they're everywhere. I see them in Texas. I see them everywhere in every single state across the country. What does that entail? How do people get involved? What do they do? How do you empower them? How does that work?
So I'm going to, Tina, how many chapters now in 40 states?
215 chapters.
215 wow. Chapters in 40 states. So over 100,000 members now. It's very exciting. We've got 10 states to go, and we're going to put those states up on our website. I want the challenge to see. We've got to close out all 50 states, right? We even have chapters in Hawaii, which is exciting. So we are set up by chapter, and the chapters are set up by county. There's a little over 3,000 counties. I think it's 3,130 counties in the United States. And so we're set up by county. And that's how the chapters operate. So there are multiple districts in each county. And so they'll have district leads for certain districts in each county sometimes. Chapters come together. They have an executive board. So they have a chair, a vice chair, and they'll have a treasurer and a secretary. So that executive board, and then they'll have membership. And they come together once a month in meetings, and they do a number of different things. But most importantly, they are keeping a watchful eye on all government and the way that government is handling parental rights. The mission of Moms for Liberty is to unify, educate, and empower parents to defend and protect their parental rights at all levels of government. And so really, it's about being effective advocates. We've noticed and we realize that when moms are unified, brought together, and educated on the issues, they are empowered. And dads, by the way, we've got chairs who are dads too. And so just really bringing people together to advocate in their communities. Tina, maybe you could add a little bit more about the chapters and how they're operating now together.
Yeah, sure. Our chapters do a lot, like Tiffany said, individually. I mean, they go over the school board agendas. We teach them about school board budgeting, consent agendas, Robert's rules. A lot of people walk into these meetings and it's like a foreign country, a foreign land to them. And they most certainly don't know the tricks of where school boards hide stuff in the budget and where they hide it in that consent agenda. They don't understand how 72 things just got voted on in one vote. And so, you know, we like to show them all of those things so they can find them. But the other thing our chapters have been doing and we're working on now is our chapters are organizing as a coalition around in each state. And they're taking this fight from the school boards now to the state level, which is very important because a lot of these laws, a lot of these issues that they're having are because of the impact of laws that are made at the state level. Here in Florida, each chapter got a vote. They met weekly. They put up a legislative agenda while session was running. They picked five bills. They supported them and they worked hard. They made trips to Tallahassee and met with legislators. They sent emails. They made phone calls. They organized a legislative days event where 200 of them went up there and they held a rally on the steps and they watched two of the bills get passed in the House. And we're proud to say the five bills that they picked now have all been signed into law by Governor DeSantis here in Florida. So each of the other states are starting to do that now. This morning, Ohio chapter chairs all got together and had a legislative committee meeting. So we're going to start seeing the impact of Moms for Liberty just grow exponentially in the next 365 days.
It's fantastic.
Wow. So then what, how does it work then when someone, like, just say that you're a mom listening to this podcast right now, and you're like, man, I would love to start a chapter. I don't know of any chapters in my state. What's the step? Do they just reach out to you? How does that begin for someone who has no idea what they're doing?
So they would go to the Moms for Liberty website. They can click on their state. Go to the Moms for Liberty website. You're going to see a big map there. You're going to click on your state. And you're going to see the chapters that are in your state. So you need to look and see, does your county have a chapter? If your county has a chapter, click on that chapter, and it will hopefully take you to a webpage if they have set it up. We have the capacity for all of the chapters to have their own webpage. And so you'll be able to see what that executive leadership team looks like in your in your chapter, in your community. If you don't have a chapter, you can click to start one. And I'll let Tina tell you what it looks like to start a chapter.
Yeah, it's not hard to start a chapter. You have to be driven. You have to have an interest and be driven. You have to be principled. You click the start a chapter button. There's a little video to watch, a screening. Make sure you're aligned ideologically with our mission, that you stand for parental rights. Fill out your questionnaire, you submit it, and we review that. And once that's approved, you schedule a Zoom interview with our team. We have a team, some of them are former school board members themselves, which is pretty exciting, that interview all prospective chapter chairs. You are required to have 10 people to start. Like Tiffany said, you need a vice chair, a treasurer. You need 10 people that'll be willing to support you and really get that chapter up and running. And you have to have attended a school board meeting. If you show up, start a chapter, and you have never stepped foot in a school board meeting, go do that first. Go make sure this is the world you want to be involved in. And from there, it gets, you know, the team screens it and they send all the approved ones to us, the executive board, and weekly we're approving chapters every week.
Okay, so switching gears just a tiny bit, because you guys co-founded this organization, which is unbelievable. Like, what a major feat, right? And I've seen you on different interviews and things like that. Now, I know that this has, of the past couple of years, it's brought a lot of people out of the woodwork when it comes to, like, parents and grandparents fighting for their kids. I mean, for lack of a better phrase, I guess, just rights in school and for parental rights to know what their kids are doing in their schools. You guys have obviously, since you're out there, your faces are out there. Mach and I started our business, what, like 13, 14 years ago. And you put yourself out there and you're going to get pushback from different organizations, right? Especially if you're a conservative woman. You guys have probably, I would assume that you've probably faced a little bit of pushback. What have you? And what has that been like? And what has the pushback been like? And who has it been from? I'm assuming unions?
I don't even know where to start with that. Like, I'm here in my Indescript office right now that we call it something else on the outside because of all the threats. I mean,
right.
Where do we even start?
So I think it's really interesting. You're right. You know, even as school board members, though, we dealt with that. Tina and I we are disruptors. We saw a system that was broken. We're moms, first of all. Let me make that clear. I've got four kids. Tina has five kids together combined with her husband. And so, you know, we're moms. And when we saw a system that was so fundamentally broken, right, that parents were not being listened to, and we recognize that parents have that fundamental right to direct the upbringing of their child. When we talk about being aligned in our vision of Moms for Liberty, what does it mean, a fundamental right to direct the upbringing of your child? That means that you as the parent have that right. The government does not give you that right. They cannot take it away. So armed with that armor, right? That's pretty great armor. Moms and dads will fight for their kids. Is there pushback? Absolutely, there is pushback. We have heard all kinds of names, all kinds of things said about us. You know, our moms got up in front of school boards and read books that had outrageous pornography in it. Things that you would never be able to say to a child on the street. I mean, and they were called what? Book banners, Nazis, white supremacists. I mean, all of the things that are said about women standing up and speaking out. And what we know to be true is that none of that is true. So we really tell our moms, you just need to reject it. You need to look at them and say, I'm not even going to stand here and get in a conversation with you where I have to try to explain how I'm not a racist, but you think I'm a racist. I reject that. That's not how we live our lives. And so we say we're joyful warriors. We very much try to get moms to push past a lot of that noise because truly, that's what it is. It's a distraction. It's noise.
Yeah, it's great advice.
To that point then, because there's a couple of controversial things that people have said about your group that I'd like to offer you a chance to set straight or explain further. First, going to Amy Jo's question about the hate that you probably get, because obviously we're accustomed to it.
Totally.
Maurice Cunningham. The article.
Maurice. I think he's just Randy Weingarten's pet that she rolls out to write stuff for him when they need it. And then Diane Rabbit just takes it and posts it somewhere and pretends like, I feel like she's just a union shill. But yes, Maurice. Oh, Maurice. Tina.
Well, so he and others, to be fair, I don't want to like just completely put all of this on him, but he and others are like, this is a load of crap. Moms for Liberty isn't just about two moms. It's totally organized by the Koch brothers and they're getting all this like dark money. So what is your response to people like Maurice?
I had a response from Maurice. I manage our Facebook account. Tiffany manages our Twitter account. And I called it, oh, Maurice, when I read that. I thought, this is the craziest stuff. People just pull ideas out of the air that, you know, and make us this boogeyman and tag everything onto us that has nothing to do with us. I don't know who the Koch brothers are.
Oh, my gosh.
I had no idea. They said AstroTurf. I had to look it up the first time I heard it. I was like, AstroTurf? What? I don't understand. Oh, now, okay.
We have not met them. We've not met a surrogate of them. We've not taken a dollar from them. And yet that is the word on the street, that we take their money, that they tell us what to do. Actually, I was telling somebody this the other day, in Tampa, because I saw the Oh Maurice post, and they said, Tina, one of the Koch brothers has passed away. I was like, so they should be saying the Koch brother is funding you. Like, they're even wrong in that. So apparently there's only one Koch brother.
Rest in peace. But you know what, Tina, we always find so interesting, and it was such a misogynistic, like when I read it, and I love men. So, you know, I love my husband. I've got three sons. I want strong men. I believe strong men support strong women. When we read that, I think their takeaway really was this idea like, oh, these women couldn't possibly do this.
Yes.
Oh my right? God. And Tina's post was basically like, you have sorely underestimated moms.
Right. Exactly.
I was like, we started with $500 in my back bedroom. My college kid did shipping. When he had to go back to school, my sister down the street moved it into her dining room and started shipping. I mean, this is not some well-funded Koch brother conglomerate based out of Washington, D.C. It was condescending. It's exactly what I felt like it was, mm-hmm. Tiffany, when I was reading it. Like, he really thinks we didn't do this.
Wow.
I love everything about that response because we've been told the same things. And I'm like, you know, I'm still waiting on our check from the Koch brothers. Like, where is it? Because I would love to have that check. But I mean, because people.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, do they think, I always say, so I have an expression. I'm not going to say it now. Tina would probably die if I say it. But no one tells us what to do. We're beholden to the moms and our members, not, you know, some. There you go. Yeah. I say, are you going to die if I say this right now?
Don't. Say it. Say it.
Say it.
I always say, we don't need a pimp. So the thing about it is, see, I said it.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is that our funders trust us. They know that we have a pulse on what's happening. And that's why when people say, like, how have you been so successful? How have you grown? We're moms, right? We get it. You hear us talk and you're like, she's saying what we need to have said. And so this idea of some funder controlling us, no, it just doesn't happen like that. Our funders trust us because they know that they're seeing that we're connecting with the American people and that these are not partisan issues. That's the other thing that I think we have to make clear, right? Tina, you have something you want to add?
Yeah, because you said funders, like we have three people behind us that are funding this.
No.
So I just want to clarify.
I meant like everybody. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I mean, we are majority funded by, yes, t-shirt sales, which they do not believe. They'll see our 990 soon and they'll see it's merchandise sales and small donors. I mean, most of our funding is literally $50 or less of a donor. This year in 2022, we have been able to secure some larger donors, thank goodness, but it's an uphill battle. We got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think like with the Koch brothers stuff, yeah, I think it's important for people to understand that even if, you know, like you said, you take a check, I'll take the check. They're not going to run the organization, right? But we're not turning money away. We're fighting for the survival of America. So
listen, yeah. And we joke because I totally understand exactly. I mean, when you answered that question, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it sounds so much like how it's the same stuff that we get because it's very misogynistic and people come at you and they think that, you know, two strong, independent women can't start a movement. It's like conservative women can't start something that is organic in nature, where other people are like, yes, I believe in that too. And I'm going at this charge with you because I believe in the same things that you believe, which is, I believe in our kids. I believe in parents, you know, I believe in limited government. And that is a good thing. And they hate it. They absolutely hate it. And I would imagine that the unions probably hate it the most.
Oh, sure. Because they have had an undue influence in our children's education. I mean, Tina and I have seen it firsthand. And you can look no farther than the NEA's representative assembly that they held, or AFT and the things on their action agenda, to see they're concerned about everything besides children. They have become, I call them the National Extremist Association or the K-12 cartel. They do not represent teachers and they certainly do not represent children and families.
Amen to that.
We got to interrupt this amazing conversation that we're having really quick because we have to remind everybody about the huge discounts happening right now at genucel.com/chicks. If you've been looking for the most amazing skincare of your life, you need to check out the most popular package, which is 65% off right now at genucel.com/chicks. And you can use code chicks for even more of a discount, extra 10% off at checkout. And if you don't want to take it from us, take it from Brenda Murphy, who is a Chicks on the Right insider, and she was posting in a thread about GenuCell products saying that the most popular package is a really good deal, that she likes their products, and she is a tough sell. So you know when somebody says that, they have tried all the things and now they have found what they're going to use forevermore.
Listen, I'm like her. I've tried all the things too. When it comes to skincare, I've tried every single thing, and GenuCell really is the best. It is. Hands down. Hands down, face up, the best.
That's right. So check it out, you guys, genucel.com/chicks. Okay, now back to the moms. So how do you respond to all the book banning criticism? Because it's a two-part question, because first of all, with all the chapters, do you find it hard to like lose a little bit of that control over your own organization, right? Because I know like people have asked us for years, you need to start a chicks chapter or whatever. And we're like, well, but it's just us. We're just the chicks and we say what we want and we're a conversation that people want to listen in on and that's great and everybody's invited. But to like let loose the reins a little bit to other people that are in charge of chapters, it's very easy to go online and be like, well, this chapter of Moms for for Liberty wants to ban Slaughterhouse Five. And I'm like, what? Like, I need to ask about that, because how do you manage when there are so many different personalities that are part of the umbrella? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll take that one, because I got a couple things to say. One is, we don't. They have autonomy to do what they want within the parameters of our organization. And it's why it's successful, because if we try to micromanage, if we put together a list of, you know, you asked and I stepped away about book banning. And so what I do is I pull this book out. I actually carry it around with me everywhere I go now. And I can't show you, because it will get thrown off the internet and any news channel.
Okay for an elementary school library, apparently.
What's in there is not just bad words about sex. They are graphic, pornographic, hardcore-looking porn. It's disgusting. And so there's issues with books in schools in America. And every community is different. Even the Supreme Court has said that. Everybody's definition of obscene is even a little bit different from community to community. So we at Moms for Liberty National cannot say this book, that book, this is a problem. As a community, they have to decide. And you know what? It doesn't matter if Slaughterhouse Five, if you like it and I don't, and Tiffany thinks it's great for her 12-year-old and you want your 18-year-old to read it. They as a community need to sit down and decide that. And every mom has the right to speak up and say, I don't want my 12-year-old reading that. And I deserve an opt-out form or an opt-in form. And I want to work with my community to decide what's best for us in that book or this book. And so the discussions need to be had. And these people that are just, I'm sorry, I get so angry about these people that think that they are the only and right opinion about this book or that book, they're in the wrong, because everybody gets to voice their opinion and every parent gets to make the decision for their children on these issues.
Okay.
I love that answer.
People have always said, is there some national list? No, I mean, in different communities, there are different state statutes regarding obscenity laws. But one thing that has become abundantly clear to parents is there is a real effort to sexualize our children at younger and younger ages. And as moms, we see it very, very clearly. And so anyone coming out and defending that type of behavior, that's indefensible. And that's what you're seeing. Again, we talk about the crossing party lines. This is not a Democrat issue or a Republican issue. This is a mom and dad parent issue. And every parent deserves to have a seat at the table when we're talking about what is appropriate for their child.
Amen.
I totally agree. So, you know, when you started this, did you have, you know, like a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, or did you just say, we have to get in there and we have to make a difference? Or did you sit down and go, okay, here's our business plan, and this is where I see us in 10, 20 years from now?
Yeah, well, no, our 5-year plan was to have 67 chapters in the state of Florida. That was our like first week out of the gate, 5-year plan. We're like, oh, we're going to be in Florida. We'll have 67 chapters.
That was my 1-year plan for me. I thought 67 chapters in 1 year if we focus on Florida.
Well, see, I was president of a school board association in the state, a conservative school board association that we tried to grow within the state as school board members. And when I tell you, it was so hard. Like, oh, we got to 5 school districts. Now we're at 6 school districts. So in my mind, I was comparing everything we were trying to build to that. And I really thought, Tiffany was always like, oh, it's going to be great. And I'm like, well, it's going to be painful and slow, but we're going to do this anyway. And so, the first discussions were, long-term plan was to fill the state of Florida. 2 weeks later, after launching January 1st of last year, Barbara reached out from Long Island, New York, and said, I heard about you and I have to start a chapter. And I was like, no, we're just in Florida. And so I called Tiffany and she was like, no, this is not ours. This is not ours. Belongs to all parents. And I was like, oh boy, I don't know anything about education in New York. I don't know anything about education in Wyoming. Once we go national, we're national.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, Maryland wanted to start a chapter, Anne Arundel County, Maryland. And, you know, like Tiffany said, it's 19 months later and we are at 215 chapters in 40 states. So we've learned about education in all kinds of states. And every day we learn something new.
Yeah. And it's like drinking from a fire hose. It's been very interesting to understand who holds authority in each state. It's very important for the moms and dads in each state to understand who holds authority to make decisions. And so that's why, they're getting involved at that school board level, because local politics are where the decisions are made that are going to affect your day-to-day life and your children's education. And so moms and dads were paying attention to school boards. So now we've got parents that are going out to vote and they're focusing on the bottom of the ballot, right? That school board vote. But then they're looking up. And so what our parents learned was there are certain things that their school board can make decisions about, or their county commission or city council, depending on where you live and depending on which state you are and which community you live in. There are lots of different decisions that people get to make, right? Different people, excuse me, that get to make decisions about education and funding. But there are certain things that need to change at the state level. And so, you know, really working with our moms to have that two-pronged approach, working at the state level with representatives and then working in their local communities and seeing how we work together to make all of those things come together for kids.
Yeah. I think a lot of parents over the past, you know, just since we've been doing this for the past 13, 14 years, a lot of conservatives in general have been very dormant. You know, they just were so polite as a people, as a species, you know, and you know what I mean? And so, we've seen a lot of parents, a lot of conservatives, just, I'm not saying that we're not polite anymore, but I think people are just so sick of it, you know, especially during COVID, they saw a lot of what's going on in our schools and just in general to our kids, right? And, which is unacceptable. And just in general. And I think that, you know, it's just, I commend you for what you're doing because it also is an educational thing too. It's a tool. And I think people, when they see organizations like yours, they're more apt to go, okay, I can do this. Because they're going to give me the tools to be able to voice what I want to voice. And it'll help me come out of like my conservative shell, because I just think a lot of people need that extra oomph. They need that. They just need that extra push with an organization like yours to be able to do that. And so I really commend you guys for what you're doing, because it's helping parents and grandparents and, you know, caretakers to come out and do what needs to be done to get our schools back, you know?
Well, and the other thing that's important is that, you know, people need that unifying place to go, right?
Right.
But we also have to remember that our elected officials are people too. And they need an army behind them to make happen what they need to make happen. And Tina and I know that from being on school board. You know, we're one person. So we have a lot of moms and dads that are getting elected. Once you get those people elected, you have to also now go and support them and see what they're learning and figure out how you create that support for them to be able to make the changes they need to make. And that's really what I think we're seeing happening here. We had a lot of people across the country that were very busy living their lives. They were working very hard. They thought their kids were doing okay in school. Tina talks about, you know, your kids getting A's in school and you think everything's okay until all of a sudden you see he can't hold a pencil properly, right? And his spelling is atrocious. And you're like, what does that A really mean? And so now you have a nation of people who recognize this government does not work well without us. And these aren't political people. Really,
yeah.
You know, these are people that have never really been involved in politics, but now they're getting involved and they're saying, well, as Ali Bestucky said at our summit, politics matter because policies matter because people matter. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we're seeing, just a revolution of parents recognizing that politics matter.
Right.
Yeah. And it's an awakening that is long overdue for a lot of people. So what's the latest on whether or not you're allowed on social media platforms? Cause like it changes all the time, right? We consider ourselves trailblazers in the world of getting blocked by social media platforms. We had an experience with Facebook way long ago, before it was even a thing, that actually was such a new thing that it made national news at that time. And now it's like, if you're a conservative or if you have even slightly conservative thoughts, then just get ready to get squelched or banned or suspended or whatever. So was it like 2 days ago, or are you still on Twitter? Like, are you not on Twitter? What's happening most recently?
We're back on Twitter. You know, Twitter is not the arbiter of truth. So this idea, we had a lot of people that were like, don't delete the tweet. You're admitting that, you know, that you're saying, you know, that it says if you delete the tweet, you're acknowledging that what you wrote was, as they said, hateful. I spent a week asking Twitter, how was the statement hateful? Right? It wasn't. You can go on our Twitter account. You can read. There were a number of articles written about it. National Review wrote an article. What I said was gender dysphoria is a mental health condition, and that there are predators in California that are trying to indoctrinate kids, basically, and liberate kids across the country, making California a sanctuary state with SB 107, sponsored by a man named Scott Wiener, a California senator who has lost his ever-loving mind. And so... And so that was a true statement. I don't think there was anything hateful about it. We spent a week, Tina and I discussed it. And I said, you know, I want to, they own the town square. This is the reality, right? There's nothing like Facebook or Twitter. And I want to, we need to be in there talking. And so I deleted the tweet because I'll find another way to repost it in different ways and get that message out again. And again, Twitter is not the arbiter of truth. I always tell my kids, if you don't have respect for someone, and the things that they do and the way that they live, why would you care about what they think about you? And I kind of take the same approach to Twitter. You know, it's the town square and they do not enforce their rules equally. And you know what? As Tina said to me the other day, life's not fair. So deal.
You guys, have you taken advantage of Acre Gold's subscription service yet? Because if you've been thinking about dabbling into gold, into actually acquiring physical gold, but you don't want to necessarily hand over piles and piles of cash up front in order to get your gold, this is what makes Acre Gold the standout. And the reason that I say that is because they offer what we like to refer to as a layaway system, a layaway program for their gold, whereby you can choose a $50 per month, $100 a month, $250 per month subscription to gold, and you pay as you go. So you pay your monthly fee, and then once you hit that price point of the current price of gold, they send it to you right to your doorstep, and you can start stockpiling in your safe at home. It's the greatest.
Which is fantastic. I want to do the $250 a month subscription for the 10 gram gold bar.
That's like a big honking
one. I know. I want the big honking one. I want to do that. I feel like it's time. You know what I mean?
And now is always a good time.
Yes. Yes. I feel like it's time. So you guys do this. I mean, they're a great company. It's fantastic. And with everything going on, I feel like that is a really good hedge, you know?
It's a great hedge. It is a great hedge. And all you have to do is go to getacregold.com/chicks. If you want to try to win a free gold bar, they're always giving away gold bars to people who like to tweet or post about them. So if you want to qualify to be in that drawing, you should just mention @acre_gold in your post or tweet, and you might just win. But again, if you'd like to subscribe or look into more information about it, it's getacregold.com/chicks. Well, we just so appreciate you guys spending time with us to learn so we could learn more about the organization, how y'all got started. And I think you've given great advice to our audience about how they can get more involved. What should they know is coming up for you? Like what's big and happening in the upcoming months with Moms for Liberty?
School board elections are happening all around the country. Here in Florida, August 23rd, August 23rd, August 23rd. Go vote. And again, they're happening all around the country, all the way through November. So for us, that is what we are laser focused on. That is what we are watching. Our chapters are endorsing. Call your local chapter. Ask who they are endorsing. Get out and vote for school board, please. They are historically the lowest turnout of all races, sometimes in the single digits, 8% of the people in the city. I mean, they are horrible numbers. We cannot allow that to continue. So that's our focus right now.
Okay. And then your website, plug your website again for everybody so they can go there and check it out and get involved.
momsforliberty.org. You can find us on all social media right now. Some days you can't, but right now we are live and front and center on all social media.
Fantastic. It's been a joy.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
This week on the Federalist Radio Hour. This sounds like Belt and Road, and it sounds like the United States at the local level is sort of inviting this granular kind of Belt and Road that's off the radar of the federal government, off the radar of the media. How does this compare with what China has done in other countries when it comes to Belt and Road?
I'm Emily Jashinsky of The Federalist. Subscribe to The Federalist on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.